ॐ शुक्लां भरधरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ So we've been studying this bhakti text, you can say, Vishnu Sahasranama. And in this 1000 names, we have covered up to 274 names. The last name that we saw was Prakashanaha, one who illumines everything, Prakashanaha. So the concept is, that which comes out of Maya, ignorance, is all insentient. They don't have sentiency by themselves. Space, air, fire, water, earth, and the mixture of it brings the subtle body and the gross body. The mixture of pure space, air, fire, water, earth brings the subtle body. The mixture of the gross space, air, fire, water, earth brings about the gross body. So both the subtle body, gross body, and the entire universe by itself is insentient. They do not have illumination by themselves. So the illumination that you see, for example, even the sun giving light, it is borrowing the light from the Brahman and giving it out to the world, and then it's further illumining the moon, nourishing the earth, etc. So therefore, wherever you see Prakasha, it is the Prakasha of Brahman. And Brahman is Prakashatmakaha. It doesn't require another light to know Brahman. Brahman is self-effulgent. That is what the meaning of Prakashanaha. Now let's go to the next sloka. Ojas Tejotithi Daraha ओजस तेजोतिधरः प्रकाशात्मा प्रतापनः प्रकाशात्मा प्रतापनः वृद्धस्पष्टाक्षरो मन्त्रः वृद्धस्पष्टाक्षरो मन्त्रः चन्द्रांशुष्भास्करद्युतिः चन्द्रांशुष्भास्करद्युतिः ओजस तेजोतिधरः प्रकाशात्मा प्रतापनः वृद्धस्पष्टाक्षरो मन्त्रः चन्द्रांशुष्भास्करद्युतिः। Oja means life energy. Tejaha means valor. And Yuthi Daraha, possessing effulgence. So, Ojas, Tejas, Yuthi Daraha. So, Oja means life energy or the vital energy. So, when we eat the fruits, vegetables, etc., the Ojas Shakti is taken from the fruits and vegetables and it comes to the body. The body has the Ojas Shakti, takes the vital energy from them. And that vital energy comes from the sun and the moon. And that actually comes from Vishnu, Brahman. Therefore, he says Ojaha and Tejaha. Tejaha means the brilliance or the valor, the beauty and other qualities that are beautiful. You know, see, the people say, I can see the tejas in that person. See, when a person has no kalbisham, no dirt inside, the eyes are clean. Clean, not in the sense of the physical cleanliness. I'm talking about, it is so transparent. So, the innocence reflects through that person's eyes. So, when we praised Vyasa, when we did the prayer to Lord Vyasa, Sage Vyasa, he said, no, Vyasa Vishala Buddhe Pularavindayata Patra Netra. Beautiful eyes. What is there in eyes? See, in Tamil they say, Agatin Aragu Mugatil Teriyum. Agam means the inside, mind. Agatin Aragya. Aragya means beauty. The beauty of the mind is shown in the face. A person is disturbed and all. And you look at his face, he's tired. You know, people, they know that this person seems stressed. When a person is cheerful, you know, it's shown through the eyes. So when you see a person who's done tremendous tapas, the youthful vigor shines through that person, even if the person is very old. So when you look at these great masters, you know, you say, like people, seeing Vivekananda, Ramtirtha, Swami Chinnananda, even our Swamiji, when you see their eyes, you feel the tejas. And that is because of the effect of tapas. Indulgence takes away the ojas shakti. The tejas is not seen. But when you don't indulge, when you retain the tapas and direct it towards the higher, then the tejas is seen. So ojas tejo dhuti daraha. One who is endowed with strength, vigor and brilliance. That is Mahavishnu. Because when you do tapas, you are controlling your senses and the mind and allowing the sense, the ojas to reflect where you see the tejas, you know. So therefore, that self-effulgent Brahman reflects through that personality. And therefore, it actually belongs to Mahavishnu. So he says, ojas tejo dhiti daraha. One who is endowed with strength, vigor and brilliance. Strictly speaking, strength is something that you get when you are devoid of desire. They say in English, no, the strength of the chain is its weakest link. All links may be made of strong iron. Only one link is plastic. But the chain cannot be used for pulling, you know, compartments in the train. It cannot be used to pull one compartment or the other because the link, one link is plastic. All other links are no doubt iron, but one is plastic. How can you use it? So if you have all, you've conquered everything, but you have one desire. My only attachment, you know, sir, is my son, my daughter, my name. If somebody talks anything bad about, that's it. Somewhere you have attachment. That's the real strength of yours or weakness of yours. If they hit you there, you're finished. Everywhere else, you're nothing is up. Share market went down, doesn't matter. If I lost millions, doesn't matter. But, agar kuch mero bachche ko ho gaya, bas katam. So, really speaking, strength only comes when you are not attached to anything. So, Mahavishnu is absolutely free and that brilliance is called as Ojas Teja Dhuti Daraha. He's the one who is endowed with all this. And then Prakashatma, one whose form is radiant. Something similar to that Prakashanaha only. Prakashatma means what? He is of the nature of Prakasha. No require any other light to be seeing it. It is self-effulgent. Pratapanaha. One who warms the world through the power of manifestations like sun. Pratapanaha. The energizer, that's what it means. The energizer of the cosmos by his manifestations as the sun, etc. Through the sun, the whole universe is energized. And that energy that you see coming from the sun is actually the energy of Brahma. Therefore, Vishnu is called as Pratapanaha. And then Riddha, one who is rich in excellences like Dharma, Jnana, Vairagya. That's what Riddha means. So, Riddha, one who is rich. Now, what confers richness? Beautifully Adi Shankara says, one who is endowed with Dharma, righteousness, knowledge. Knowledge means the pure knowledge of Atma. As a result, dispassion towards the world. That's called richness. So, which is what we have been saying in many of our classes. Your richness is not to be counted by the amount of wealth that you have accumulated. Your richness needs to be counted in terms of what all you can be without. What all you can be without, that confers your richness. Your, what all you have right now doesn't confer your richness. Can you be without this? That means you are rich, you bet. You are full. See, when you lack something, it occupies your mind. So in other words, you may have many things, but if you are not really full of it, your mind will still be attached to it and craving for it. So therefore, you cannot call yourself rich. Swamiji says, he read an article in Reader's Digest many, many years ago of a German millionaire, multi-billionaire maybe. He wrote an article saying that he's become a little poorer this year. And because every year apparently he used to replace his helicopter. You know, he had few helicopters. So he used to replace those helicopters every year, new model. This year, for some reason, not this year, whenever he wrote an article that year, he says he could not replace the helicopter because he cannot afford. Swami says the article was written so genuinely that he felt after reading the article, he felt as if sending him some money so that he could help himself to replace his helicopter. So in other words, he, in spite of all his wealth, he's still poor. So one who adheres to dharma, dharma means what? You are satisfied from the wealth you get from the work that you have done, and that work also is the work that you have done for the loka sangraha, not just for yourself. No? See, Ramana Maharishi, the ashram I went, which is near Tamil Nadu, it's in Tamil Nadu, near Chennai, a place called Tiruvannamalai. A very simple ashram. We stayed there 2 nights. Very basic facilities. I really enjoyed the stay there. The food you sit on the floor and have food. Those who cannot sit on the floor, they provide them some table and chair. There, everybody eats at the same time, except few people who serve. Others who sweep the ashram there, everybody sits together and eats. That's how Ramana Maharshi, built it, the whole culture there. So apparently, when Ramana Maharshi was there, you might have seen his pictures, so thin and emaciated and all. So one of the devotees, very, very, very devoted to Swamiji, Swami Ramana Maharshi, he said, "It seems, Swamiji, you look so weak. This is not done, you know." So he brought Chyawanprash for him. Good quality Chyawanprash he brought for him and said, "Swamiji, this is for you. You're okay, give me a little bit." So he had a little bit and said, "Ah, stretching very nice. In Tamil, nalla irukpa. Give it to everybody." No, ellarkum kuduthu means just give it to everybody. There's nothing that he keeps for himself. Just shares. So when you live like that. Just give. And whatever comes out of it, you will live. That is dharma. Dharma basically is what? We are all living in this earth together. This earth belongs to the animals just as it belongs to us. It belongs to the birds as it belongs to us. It belongs to the mountains just as it belongs to us. And we are dependent on the mountain. Without mountain, we cannot live. So, understanding that we are all living here, we need to coexist, and having that attitude, you know, living and letting others live, to follow dharma. So, when you live like that, you are above aggrandizing. That is wealth, that is richness. The moment you are above aggrandizing, you are paripurna, you doesn't matter whether you are little less or more. It doesn't really matter. Numbers doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. So, Riddha, one who is rich in excellences like dharma, jnana, knowledge, see, the best form of wealth you can accumulate is jnana. Because jnana cannot be stolen. Everything else can be stolen. Jnana cannot be stolen. And how much ever you give, the more you will have. Like, now, I shouldn't be saying this, but I have no problem in saying this. Now, 95 I completed the academy course. Now it's, 27th year is going to end. So, last 27 years I've been talking. I can definitely say, I don't know whether you all gained anything, that I cannot promise. But definitely, as I am talking on all these various scriptures to so many people, I am definitely benefiting. My way of understanding the scriptures have become much deeper. You still learn, lot to learn, that's a different matter. But definitely it's become better. So, knowledge, when you share, you only become more rich and wiser. You understand? So, and now the outcome of knowledge is vairagya, which is detachment. You become free from many nonsensic things that entangle you now. Unnecessary. You just let go. And there's a power in that. There's a power in giving up. Well, actually it's not giving up. It is growing up. Why you cannot let go? See, many families, especially the business families, you know, the father, the mother who's been running the business, finds it difficult to hand it over to the children. They cannot, I'm not saying you hand over and retire and do nothing and laze and die. No. But that cannot hand over the mantle. Though he is my son. The thing is, you see, there is a tremendous joy or the feel that one gets when you are a chairman or something, you know. People asking me and doing things. I can write, I can remove somebody, I can employ somebody. There's a feeling is there, a sense of importance. So to let it go, not everybody is able to do it. That is because, you see, from childhood, you come to youth. You move into career and all that. There you've grown up. But then there is a next stage, you've got to grow up to the next stage. Like we say, no, brahmacharya, grihastha, anaprastha, sannyas. So now is the time you need to learn to grow to the next level. One needs to come out of this petty joy that one gets out of this kind of powers, as it were. So, difficult for them to hand over the thing to the children. Very difficult. And in some places, they don't even write will or anything. So, the parents are, children are waiting for the parents to go. Baba, when will the fellow go? The fellow not going only. You understand? That situation should not come. But the other extreme is, hand over everything and then you come at the mercy of children. That is another stupidity that people do. I don't want to take the names. You know it. One or two fellows, very famous, suffering. Luckily now there is some rule, I believe. In case the parents had given it to the children, and the children are not really taking care of them, you can file a case and get it back. But in India, when you file a case, I don't know how long will it take. You understand? So, the point is that renunciation is nothing but knowledge. When you grow to the higher height, you can renounce the lower. So it's actually not giving up, it's growing up. Your mind is out of all this. That's why you are able to be without them. So it's not really giving what you've given up. You have no attachment or need for it. So you've grown out of it. So that's the outcome of knowledge. So when you have the knowledge, dharma and vairagya, that's considered to be the wealth. Riddha. And all this is in the possession of Mahavishnu. Hence it's called as Riddha. Spashtaksharaha. Spashtaksharaha. So, which means of clear verbalization. He is the syllable Om whose accent swara is acute. Uddata means high pitch. You know, so Adi Shankara says, he's so called because Omkara, the manifestation of the Lord, sound of the Lord, is Pashtara, high pitched. Om. You know, it's very clear, Spashta. So hence he's called as Pashtakshara, because Om is the designation of Brahman. A-U-M, the pure consciousness that pervades A-U-M, which represents the waking dream and deep sleep states of consciousness respectively. So Spashtaksharaha. Mantraha, mantra, the sacred formula that helps us to control the mind. Mananat sayate iti mantra. So he says, he is the one who is manifested as the mantras of the Rig Sama Yajuh. See, I have said this many times. Even in this class, for example, when you are listening to me, if you think there is something sensible coming out of me, it is at those times when I am not there, the gurus are speaking through me. And all the nonsense when you hear from me, it is when the gurus are switched off and I am there. It is not just with me, it is with anybody for that matter. Whether it's with musicians or anybody, you know, when the small eye is dissolved, the great work happens through them. So, all these mantras, for example, the rishis are called as mantra drishtas. For example, Vishwamitra is the mantra drishta for, Om Bhur Bhuva Swaha Vichant. That mantra, Vishwamitra is the Gayatri mantra, he is the mantra drishta. He got that drishti when he is in meditative state. So when he is in meditative state means what? In the deep meditation, the eye is completely dissolved. So the mantra came through him. He is called as a mantra drishta of that mantra, but actually it belongs to God. So therefore, mantra, all these mantras are Bhagavan. So when you are chanting mantra, you don't have to chant it mechanically. If you actually understand the power of mantras, you will never do it like that. So one who manifests as the mantras of Rig, Sama, Yaju, etc. Or one who is known through the mantras. That is another interpretation. One who is known through the mantras, and one who is mantra himself. Mantras are so potent, so powerful. If it is chanted correctly, it creates that real vibration in your personality and it delivers the results. So he is considered as a mantra himself. And then Chandramshu. He is called Chandramshu. Chandra Amshu means the moonlight. So because when you are burnt in the hot sun, what gives you relief is the moonlight. You know, you look forward for the night time. You know, otherwise sun has been touching all of us. Let the night come. You know. So like the rays of the moon brings delight to the minds that are afflicted by the scorching rays of the sun of the worldly life. So he's comparing Adi Shankara is comparing the sunlight to samsara. Just like the sunlight is burning, we are all burnt in this samsaric life. So, when after having got burnt in the sunlight, and you look forward for the moon, and when the moon comes, it's very composing and, you know, relaxing like that. For a person who is completely stressed, then he takes these namas. Vishnu gives peace. It becomes shanti. In fact, in Kali Yuga, they say with so much of things going, the pandemic doesn't seem to end another, I don't know how long, maybe another 2 more years it will go. Just before the class, Sadhana said, in France they already found another variant. By the time this variant comes and goes, then the other variant will come, the variant will come. Keep on, I don't know what all is going to happen. So, and lots of conspiracy theories are floating, which is true, which is not true, we don't know. They are saying it's man-made. Why human beings have become so vicious? God knows. But end of the day, it's very tiring. That one-upmanship life that people go through is a tiring life. A rajasic life, you know, to hold more than the other, a little more than the other, because the way we are living, we really don't know how much is really enough. Pata nahi, whether companies will go on for next few years or not, hold karo, and it's very tiring, mentally fatigued. People are mentally gone. See, why physical body, obviously, when it is working too much, you will become tired, like children are playing the whole day, body becomes tired, within seconds they fall off to sleep. But they are never mentally fatigued. But these so-called grown-up human beings, who call themselves an adult and this and that, well, how come you are getting tired, doing nothing? That mental fatigueness comes from this rajasic and tamasic way of living. Highly rajasic. That's why you get into this fatigue. So, for them, when you take Vishnu Nama, it's very relaxed. In the academy, you know, like me, there are quite a few disciples of Swamiji who, after completing the course, have decided to be in this line and teaching. So, they are conducting classes in many parts of the world. You know, one fellow, when he was going back after the thing to academy course to abroad, especially to the West, Swamiji gave him that, what do you call that, Nama Sankirtan, you know. He said, listen to this. You leave this there. A very highly active and agitated kind of an environment. So you leave this. It's just a simple two-line Nama Sankirtan. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. That's this. But when you really chant the Nama and then that vibration and the thoughts associated with the Nama, Rama and Krishna, and you revel in those thoughts, you take your mundane mind and park it in the higher self. It's like, you know, when the ship is constantly being on the ocean, it's salt water, right? The salt water corrodes the ship. So you know what they do? They bring it to the shore and do dry docking. You know that? They remove the flakes using the sandpaper and they really remove all the, you know, flakes and then make it smooth, paint it, and then they take it back to the water. So, for the mind which is going into this mundane life and doing all kinds of things just for the sake of belief, just for the sake of belief, nothing else. Belly includes your eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin. If I go on the top of the mountain, I get to see certain things which I can't see from here. But go to the top of the mountain, I can't climb now. So, jakare. Okay, I'll have to go through the helicopter. Then for that, I need to have this much money. Then I'll have to earn that much money. So, work. So, you know, it's just for the sense appetite and survival. You go through so much. I mean, and we become tired. And for that mind, the Vishnu Nama, Vishnu becomes solace. That's what he means by saying Chandram Shuru. That's like how Chandra gives solace to people who are burnt by the sun. Vishnu Nama and Vishnu gives solace to people who are tossed in samsara. Bhaskara Jyutihi, he who has effulgence of the sun. Strictly speaking, you cannot compare anything in the world with Brahma. It is incomparable. Very interesting. Previous word is Chandramsuru. Next word is Bhaskara Jyutihi. So he is as effulgent as sun and as cooling as moon. He burns the karmas. The sun's rays burns the karmas. And when the karmas are burnt, you experience the bliss of Atma, which is very cooling. Next verse. Amrutam Shudbhavo Bhanuhu. Amrutam Shudbhavo Bhanuhu. Sashibindu Sureshwaraha. Sashibindu Sureshwaraha. Aushadam Jagatas Setuhu. Aushadam Jagatas Setuhu, Satyadharma Parakramaha, Satyadharma Parakramaha,
अमृतां सुद्भवो भानुः सशबिन्दुः सुरेश्वरः औषधं जगतः सेतुः सत्यधर्म पराक्रमः।
अमृतां सुद्भवः द सोर्स ऑफ द मून द परमात्मन फ्रॉम हूम अमृतांशु आर द मून ओरिजिनेटेड द टाइम ऑफ द चर्निंग ऑफ द मिल्की ओशन। सो व्हेन द मिल्की ओशन वॉज चर्न द मून रोज फ्रॉम दैट। सो देयरफॉर द सोर्स ऑफ द मून इज ब्रह्मन। मिल्की ओशन मीन्स योर माइंड, अंडरस्टैंड? From the mind only all comes out when you churn it. So, milky ocean means sattvic mind. Milky, pure whiteness represents sattva. And the sattvic mind is churned. From that what rises is the Brahman, which is like moon, relaxing, cooling, full of vitality, but at the same time, it gives us solace. Amritam Shuddhavaha, the source of the moon. Banuhu, Banuhu, the radiant. We have seen already the sun borrows its radiance from Vishnu. So Banuhu means one who shines, one who is radiant, one who is self-effulgent. And Shasha Binduhu, nourishing all beings like the moon. So, moon, you know, Shasha Binduhu means he has the moon as his mark. Which means what? He nourishes all beings like the moon. That's what it means. The moon nourishes the paddy field. As a result, we get the paddy. Otherwise, we won't get it. So, with all the vitalities that we get from the paddy and all, is because of the moon. So, he says, nourishes all beings like the moon. Sasha Binduhu. Sureshwaraha. Suraha means the devas, the residents of the Devaloka. And Sura Ishwaraha, the lord of Suras, the lord of devas, the lord of gods. The gods themselves are dependent on him. So the gods and those who are great powers giving to this universe, they themselves depend on Brahman for their giving. Therefore, Sureshwaraha. Aushadam is another beautiful nama, medicine. Huh? Aushadam means medicine. What is the medicine for? Samsara is a medicine for samsara. So you catch hold of the name of Vishnu. It's very simple. Instead of complicating it too much. All our sufferings are due to this three-letter word called E-G-O, ego. Wherever the ego subsides, the God reveals. Wherever Lord comes, things become peaceful, calm, serene. You go to this Gurudwara, no? You go to Gurudwara, you may be some multimillionaire, it doesn't matter. You go there, you park your car, go inside. And some of them are even cleaning couples. And some of them are sweeping the Gurudwara. You seva. And they find the peace. Why? What is it that really is giving you the joy? Anybody? Why people go and do it? Okay, one maybe believes that if I do all that, my papa will go this and that. But genuinely speaking, when you do it, you're feeling great. Why is that? Anybody? Nobody's answering.
It is done selflessly.
Yeah, so basically the thing is self-forgetfulness. You forget that you are that multi-billionaire. You are just cleaning the shoes. You are probably working in the kitchen where they give that, what is that they call it? That they serve food, no? In Gurudwara. What do they call it?
Langar.
Langar. You are just one of them serving. You, who's who? All that you forget, you know. That's it is nonsense actually. See, it is sickness. Any part of your body, when it wants to make its presence known, means something wrong with that part, isn't it? And if everything is going on fine, it doesn't make itself known. Supposing something is fallen in my eyes, then only it troubles me. Supposing there is something wrong in my teeth, it troubles me. Makes its presence known. Now it's normal, it's fine. I don't even feel it is there. So in the world outside, pata hai main kaun hu, usko dikhana hai, isko dikhana hai, kisi ko bhi nahi dikh, kuch, there's nothing to be shown to anybody. They're all rubbish, nonsense. You know, just normally live. And the more ego is sacrificed, joy is enormous joy you get from wherever you are. All the unnecessary things are not needed. So that's why when you go to this langar and clean the shoes or do sweep the floor or do anything, you feel so something else because you know you are like anybody. In fact, some of these celebrities when they give interviews, they say, "My God, we are so relieved when we go to Europe or some other nowadays. I don't know." But they say some of those places, they don't know, nobody knows them. They'll just be normal. Here are some 25,000 cameras following them there. Torture is life if you actually see. Here from here it looks like, glamour. There is my God, man, I can't even come out. And if I do something, this is interpreted like that. And if you do not have Vedantic knowledge, you are gone. You finished. They'll make you, I mean, people go through depressions. That's why. So if you understand this, the best thing is just live as if you don't live. Just as if you are not there. You know, so that's why, you know, all these people, when they go, they are so enjoying themselves. And they come out again, they get into this samsara of mentally comparing and this thing, that thing, doing all kinds of things to increase the wealth, fatigue. So, aushadam means medicine. Medicine for samsara. Holding on to the Lord and His glory brings you out of this samsara. When you understand that you are that Lord and that's your glory, why you want to go into this samsara and suffer? Jagata Setu. One who is the aid to go across the ocean of samsara. Jagat. Jagat means that which is constantly changing. Jagat. World. So Jagata Setu. The bridge in this Jagat, in this world, you got to use Brahman who is the bridge to go from the shore of mortality to the shore of immortality. Satya Dharma Parakrama. One whose excellences like righteousness, omniscience, etc. are all true. Satya Dharma Parakrama. So he is unfailing. That's what it means. True means unfailing. Always he is endowed with Satya, the truth, Dharma, the righteousness. Parakramaha means what? That Satyam and Dharma, which is his original nature and which is he himself, is unfailing, is always victorious. It appears as if Adharma is winning, but finally it loses. Therefore, Satyam and Dharmam always wins. It's unfailing. Satya Dharma Parakramaka. Next shloka. Bhuta Bhavya Bhavannataha. Bhuta Bhavya Bhavannataha. Bhavana Pavano Nalaha.
పవన పావనో నలః కామః కామకృత్ కాంతః కామః కామకృత్ కాంతః కామకామ ప్రదప్రభుః కామకామ ప్రదప్రభుః భూత భవ్య భవన్నాథః పవన పావనో నలః కామః కామకృత్ కాంతః కామకామ ప్రదప్రభుః భూత భవ్య భవన్నాథః. Natha means Lord. Also it means one who is sought by all beings. Natha means one who is sought by all beings. Also it means Lord. So the Lord of beings of the past, present and future. One who is the master for all the beings of the past, present and future. See, the beings of the past were enlivened by the pure consciousness. Beings of the present are enlivened by the pure consciousness. Beings of the future will be enlivened by the pure consciousness. Therefore, pure consciousness is the Lord of all beings. Pure consciousness knows past, present and future. He is the Lord. So he is the one who helps them to act and acquire what they want. He is the one who gives result according to their actions. So, without him, nothing happens, whether it was in the past or present or future. Therefore, it's called as Bhuta Bhavya Bhavanataha. Then, Pavanaha, the purifier. Wind. Wind purifies, isn't it? Then, supposing you go out of town for a few days, all your rooms and houses completely shut, the windows and all, and they come out. Come into the house because of the stale air there. There's some foul smell. Then you open up all the doors and windows. The fresh air comes in. It purifies. Similarly, he is the Pavanaha, the purifier. He purifies everyone of all the sins. Then Pavanaha, one who causes motion. What makes you act? The wind itself is blowing, is moving because of the Brahman enlivening the wind. So what makes anybody act is Brahman. Therefore it's called as Pavanaha. Then Analaha. Analaha here means one who embodies the vital breaths. The Jivatma is called Anala because it recognizes Prana as himself. So Analaha, one who embodies the vital breaths. Prana, Apana, Vyana, Samana, Udana. You know, all these are Shimuni. This Prana that you see, all these Pancha Pranas are nothing but Brahman. That's what it means. Analaha. And then Kamaha. Kamaha, the destroyer of desires. One who, the moment the Atmic knowledge comes in, once you gain the knowledge of the Atma, the desires are all burnt. The destroyer of the desire, all the desires. You know, one who destroys the desire, nature in seekers after liberation. So liberation means what? When you have seen the God, all desires gone. In fact, I've heard this from people say, especially those who go to Tirupati Balaji. They may have so many things that they want. They have a big list. Bhagavan mere ko ye de do, wo de do and all that. In Tirupati Balaji, if you go, within few seconds they keep pushing you. Jargandi, 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 they push you. There's huge queue there. So hardly few seconds you get to see the darshan. So if you see the feet, you can't see the face. If you see the face, you can't see the feet. And mostly the devotees see the feet. So, tourist fellows, they see what is the decoration. Today is gold or what. All that. Two devotees goes, he just sees the feet. By the time he sees the feet, they pushed him out. So what they say, most of the people with all their wishes and they go there. There's something there in that Tirupati Balaji, they say. When we are there in front of Balaji, We've forgotten what we came there, what we wanted to ask. We just see him and that's it. We don't ask. So, destroyer of desires. Why you have to ask? You know that poem, Olive Tree, it beautifully talks, no? He who made it knew what it needed better than a man like me. Let's just go on working. Whatever has to come will come. Whatever will not be there with us, it will be taken. It's okay. That doesn't mean you become lazy, lethargic and you work dynamically. You know, the gain or loss, you don't care. You don't care doesn't mean you start working only for loss. You will be obviously working for the profit. But you work as if it's your obligation. So the destroyer of desire of those who seek salvation, he who destroys the schemes of the enemies of his devotees. And so it means one who destroys the enemies of his devotees. And kama krit, one who fulfills the wants of the pure-minded devotees. Fulfiller of desires. See, this is very, very interesting. The mind, when it becomes single-pointed, the desire is fulfilled. So, when a person is having rajasic man, you ask the rajasic fellow, what do you want? And then he says he wants this. And is that all you want? No. Ye chahiye, uske baad wo chahiye, uske baad wo chahiye. Like supposing somebody says, I want sweet. Okay, you want only sweet? Or along with sweet, you want to have the capacity to enjoy the sweet. Obviously, I want the capacity to enjoy the sweet as well. I want to have the sweet. I want to have the capacity to enjoy the sweet. And then I must enjoy the sweet always with the same amount of joy. Like that. Add infinitum thoughts. Therefore, if a person can bring himself to pure mind, kama kriti, the fulfiller of the desires, in a calm, composed, serene mind, any thought comes, it gets fulfilled. The problem is, our mind is not clean. See, we have contrary thoughts. What will happen if it's not fulfilled? Bhagwan agar nahi diya to kya kare? The devotee's mind doesn't think like that. Agar Bhagwan nahi diya means I don't deserve it. So kya problem hai? So jo mere ko definitely milna chahiye, to milenge. So the person, you know, doesn't even doubt. You know, contrary thoughts. So such a pure mind, any thought pops up, it's fulfilled. That's what he means by saying kama krit and kantaha, beautiful. Kanta means to the superlative, says Adi Shankar. One who is extremely, extremely beautiful. Simply attracts, sucks you in beauty. See, when you see any child, you may be so tired and after the long flight you take from India to US or US to India, you are so tired after 15 hours. You come and you stand in the immigration queue, huge queue going on. You are so fatigued. And then you see a child there. You see the child, instantly you forget about all the tiredness and everything and you start playing with the child. From where do you get that attraction? How is that the child is attracting you? Why the child is so attractive? Anybody?
Because he's pure hearted and not conditioned by our layers of.
So as a result, what is happening? The child wants to connect nothing from you. Isn't it?
Yeah. The more, there's no expectation.
Zero expectation, nothing the child wants. That innocence. So when you do not want, you attract people to your house. You attract people to you. Anybody going on asking, say, hey, Baba, there's a problem, but you will not meet that person. So, attraction comes when you're a giver. Attraction doesn't come when you're a taker. You don't really attract them. they are coming to you to take away your wealth, maybe. It's like how you are using them, they are trying to use you. But the real kantaha comes when you attract people to you because you don't want it. That's how Jesus Christ attracted. Jesus Christ attracted so many people and the rulers became agitated because they think this guy is going to gather a group and revolt against us. He had no such intention. But these rulers are so attached, so they will always be thinking like, and the gathering immediately become a little bit worried. Yaar, pagal hai. Gathering chal raha hai, toh humko kuch problem ho jayega. So the gathering ko pehla hi khatam karna chahiye. No? So, attraction. People are attracted to you if you are a giver. You are pure, innocent. You expect nothing from them. You attract. Otherwise, you will make everybody run away from you. Say, Baba, don't even look at that fellow. You know? Kamaha, one who is sought after by those who desire to attain the four supreme values of life. What are the four supreme values of life? Anybody? Forgot. Artha, Kama, Dharma, Moksha. Artha means wealth, Kama means entertainment, Dharma means righteousness, Dharmic values, laws, and Moksha means liberation. So one who is desired by those that seek liberation or any goals. So to attain the goal in the mundane world and in the spiritual, he helps. That's why you desire him. Kamaha. Kama pradaha. He who grants all desires to his devotees. Grants all his desires to his devotees means what? Not that if you pray to Vishnu, you'll get everything. If you don't pray to Vishnu, you'll not get everything. Nothing like that. If you are a devotee of the Lord means what is the qualification? See, in the academy,
you serve beyond yourself, you'll serve in the bigger picture.
See, in the academy, I'm just giving one example for you. Swamiji travels across the world to give lectures. Few people, Lakshmanaji travels. So, when they travel, few people accompany them for chanting and for other work. Basically for work. And even I have gone many times. Most of the time when we go, we don't have any time to see any place also sometimes. We are not interested, generally no time. Literally the lectures are there for 4 days or 5 days. We go there one day before or just the day of the lecture. The 4 days lecture hone ke baad, immediately we go to another city in the same country, another lecture like that. So sometimes we don't have time to go anywhere. No, not interested, not going on. But in between, if you get 1 or 2 days, certain things are probably available only in those places. So we get those things, whichever is necessary. So that time, if you see, some of the boys and girls, they are not traveling for accompanying Swamiji or going and helping Swamiji or anything of the sort. Their work is different. They're probably handling the administrative work in the academy. Or something, you know, supposing somebody is interested in the kitchen, I mean, in charge of the kitchen. He is in charge of the kitchen. He or she is running that, she is running that. So they are not going with them. And they are living their life, simple life. So sometimes these boys and girls who go with Swamiji, they notice, hey, this fellow who is working in the kitchen, his chappal is looking a little old. For him, he is not bothered. Means bothered in the sense, he didn't even notice it. It's normal, it's fine. But these guys have noticed, the fellow's chappal thik nahi hai. Or his kurta has become, or something, I'm just giving gross example. Probably, you know, using some 5-year-old mobile phone, something like that. So when they go, and if some devotees are giving something from there, they say, No, we don't want anything. No, no, no. They insist. No, you have to take something. Okay. You get this for that boy, for that girl. Neither this boy or girl asks. But how come these people have the thought? See, they're selflessly working. You know. So, when you see these things, you understand this. Then he says, he liberally fulfills the desires of the devotees. You just forget. Things come. But this is the difficult thing that people to understand. You think they are getting everything because of their work? There is this law which is making sure things come to you. That part of it nobody understands. Everybody is so egoistic only because of their work. While your work is important, but can you even believe the things that are happening in the world, from where to where things are coming, who's doing it, how this is happening? How did you get it? You can say, I work, but how did you get it if the laws were not functioning? Somebody has a desire to export that and sell it here. So you work hard and bought it. But who put the desire in the fellow's head? How this thing happens? It's a miracle. So you think in between you are doing your day. So kama pradaha. One who liberally fulfills the desires of his devotee. Devotees means one who works without ego. Prabhu, the Lord, one who surpasses all. Prabhu means one who is beyond Maya also. He is the only one who is always existing, one who is really existing. So the Lord, Prabhu. Next shloka. Yuga dikrit yuga vartaha, yuga dikrit yuga vartaha. Naikamayo mahashanaha, naikamayo mahashanaha, adrishyo vyaktarupascha, adrishyo vyaktarupascha, sahasrajit anandajit, yuga adhikrit yuga vartaha, naikamayo mahashanaha, adrishyo vyaktarupascha, sahasrajit anandajit, yuga adhikrit. One who is the cause of periods of time like yuga, you know, the Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, all these yugas. Yuga Dikrit, this is a 300 nama. The institutor of yugas, etc. He who has started the ages of the world. So Yuga Dikrit, he is the Adi of all the yugas. From him, all these yugas have started. That's what it means. Then Yuga Bhartaha. Yugavartaha, one who has the time, causes a repetition of four yugas, beginning with Satya Yuga. So he is the one who brings about the cycle of yugas. All these yugas come in cycle, and he is the one who is responsible, being the changeless reality supporting, helps these changes to happen. If these changes are not happening, things won't exist in this world. For that, he is responsible. Then Naika Maya, of many illusions, Naika Maya means of many illusions and also of numerous forms of Maya. See, that one Brahman, due to the Maya, looks all these so many forms. Hence, it's called as Naika Maya. Different forms, different species, different. Incredible. When you see some of these documentaries, they go under the ocean and then they film it. Oh my God. For 1 hour, if you see that kind of species inside the ocean. Unbelievable. So like that. Innumerable variety show. So he, therefore, Naika Maya, of many illusions, numerous forms of Maya. And then Mahashanaha. See, Mahashanaha means great consumer. That's what it means. One who consumes a lot. See, at the time of Pralaya, he consumes everything into him. He withdraws everything into him. At the time of Pralaya. For example, at the time of sleep, All your desires are withdrawn into yourself. No? All your thoughts and desires. Same thing happens at that total level. Therefore, he says, Mahashana. Adrishyaha. Drishya means visible or seen. Adrishya means that which is invisible, not seen. So, one who cannot be grasped by any of the senses or mind or intellect. So that's why it's called as Adrishya. One who cannot be grasped by any of the five organs of knowledge. Organs of knowledge means sense perceptions. Not just sense perceptions. Mind also cannot grasp. Intellect cannot grasp. So, Adrishya. You cannot see him, though he is everywhere. It's a beauty. Somebody who is everywhere, but not seen. Why? Because of Maya. As long as you are a sway of Maya, you can't see. So don't try wasting your time to see God. Instead, if you become the self, instantly you recognize the self. So, Vyakta Rupaha. Having manifested forms. Vyakta. Vyakta means manifested. Avyakta means unmanifested. So, Vyakta Rupa. He has come out as these various manifestations. That's what it means. So called because his gross form as universe can be clearly perceived. Vyakti. In fact, in Telugu, they address people as Vyakti. You know, so he, that Vyakti, this Vyakti, means who is seen. Atma cannot be seen, but from that is come as some manifestation which can be seen. So Vyakta Rupa, all these Rupas, the manifested forms that you see, is actually Brahman only, having manifested forms. All Vyakta Rupa. Also, Adi Shankara gives another beautiful interpretation. He says he becomes cognizable to yogis. See, Brahman is strictly speaking Vyakta or Avyakta. Anybody? Brahman is strictly speaking Vyakta or Avyakta? Everybody's answering?
Unmanifest.
Which is Vyakta. I mean Avyakta.
Oh.
But they are able to see when the outer eye is closed and the inner eye is open. In the deep meditative state, the yogins perceive them. How do they perceive? Not with these eyes. The problem is, these eyes are fully open all the time. You cannot see. Only when these eyes are shut, when the inner eye opens, you see. In fact, when you go to Tirupati Balaji or any mandir for that matter, after having struggled, gone there, waited in the queue for so long, and then you go to the sanctum sanctorum and you see the Lord, you close your eyes. And by the time you open, they have already pushed you, you are outside the mandir. So you went there, you close your eyes, you are pushed out. And this is the tamasha going on. So what is this? When you close your attachment to the world, and become pure, purified. Then you see him within. So that's what it means, Vyakta Rupa. For such yogis, who are vairagis, who become free from worldly attachments, they see God. We can't see. Why we can't see? Because they're still attached to this world. If God is everywhere, why can't I see? Of course you can. But you can only see if you are detached. As long as you're still extrovertedly running in this world, you cannot. That's what it means, Vyakta Rupa. For yogins, he is Vyakta Rupa. They see him everywhere, in all different forms. that innocence, when you, if you want to have the experience of the truth, you have to become shut with reference to the untruth world, which is this, you know, this manifested world. Therefore, he says, yakta rupa. See, for the pure soul, he is yakta, he is everywhere. They see him in all areas where activities are going on. It is him who is doing the action. So for them it is clear. They don't have any doubts. For the fellows who are so tamasic and rajasic, they need proof. So what happens? Some kind of a miracle happens. Huh? And they wake up and say, oh, God, man. Kuch na kuch ho hai. Because they hua. Something which is beyond their grasping ability. You know, go to Himalayas, my God, mighty Himalayas. Oh my God, huge waves, ocean. Something or the other, they see things, God is there. But when you really calm down, in everything there is only God. You are constantly seeing God everywhere. So, Vyakta Rupa, Sahasra Jitra, one who is victorious over innumerable enemies, of the devas in the battle. See, any number of enemies can come. He conquers them. He is called as Sahasrajita, conqueror of thousands of beings in the battle. See, it is not matter how long the snow existed, how hard it is. When the sun comes out, all the snow melts. So, in all the battles, the Atma wins and helps the Devas, the righteous, because the Atma has no expectations whatsoever. So, Sahasraji, in all these, when a person reaches the Atma and functions, he will not have any expectations. Sahasraji, thousands and thousands of battles have been won by them. By Vishnu, that's what it means. Anantajiti. Anantajiti means everything is one. Who, being endowed with all powers, is victorious at all times over everything. Anantajiti means he is constant winner. In winning also he is winner, in losing also he is winner. That's what it means. So, a person who is a personification of love, who acts on love, can never be a loser. It's only those who act for something in return with desire, they are losers. So therefore, he says, Sahasra Jitte, Ananta Jitte. So with this, let's conclude today. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purna Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Aye Navacha Hansendre Dva Vidyatmanava Prakate Swabhavat Arumi Adyat Sakalam Parasmahi नारायण नारायण के समर्थक हैं। हरिओम।